and welcome back to Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and oh boy, are we excited to be back talking about your Toronto Blue Jays Baseball Club, the Transaction Makers, an emergency episode of Spin Rate to talk about all things Blue Jays here in the middle of November. This is not yet turning into a Voyageur podcast, not yet ready to talk about Canada's birth in the World Cup of Soccer, the men going, headed potentially to the World Cup for the first time in nearly 40 years. We're here to talk about the Blue Jays, making moves, making deals, inking names to contracts. And there is no person who is, A, contractually obligated to be here, but B, I would rather talk about these details, these deals, than the lead Blue Jays writer for The Athletic. She is a reporter, a journalist, a writer, a columnist. Her name is Caitlin McGrath. Caitlin, she's a co-host of Spin Rate. Caitlin, how are you?
Don't forget that part of my title, co-host of Spin Rate.
It is not the most important part. It is the part that was the least of what you signed up for. But here we are. But we are here. You're well. First of all, how are you? You're well. You're having you had a nice break, a little bit of a vacation.
Yeah, I'm well. I took some time off as I was able to, because I've built up a lot of PTO and had to use some. So that was nice. And I didn't really get up to much other than kind of just hanging around at home and catching up on some TV. I finally jumped on the Succession bandwagon, and proud to say I completely caught up. And so now I'm like in current episodes, waiting week to week. So I know, I feel like part of, you know, pop culture. I'm into the, I understand the memes now. I get it. So that was one big accomplishment that I.
That is a huge accomplishment. We don't want to have you spending the rest of your life piss mad because you didn't get to watch Succession. Also, shout out to The Athletic, where Caitlin works, which is obviously an American company, because tell me you work for an American company without telling me you work for an American company by referring to vacation time as PTO. Which is like very, very not the nomenclature that I am accustomed to. But we aren't, so we take a break. We had planned, and we still do plan to come back this week, in fact, to talk, because there's lots of Blue Jay stuff coming up this week to talk about. Awards, guys getting down ballot votes, guys getting up ballot votes, guys winning awards. Hank Aaron Award, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was named. Three Blue Jays were named Silver Sluggers. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about that later this week. What we're here to talk about today in this emergency episode of Spin Rate, which if you are a subscriber, you're hearing it, you are hopefully pleasantly surprised that there's a new episode in your feeder. Yeah. If you subscribe to the show, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, if you get them on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever, here we are, right there in your feed. So you don't have to wait for the social media prompt to know that it's there. But and the other thing is, if you want to subscribe to The Athletic and you want to read Caitlin break down the transactions, the looming transaction that we're about to talk about, the awards, the off-season machinations, the 40-man roster crunch, read some GM meeting reactions, I don't know, question mark. You want to make sure that you subscribe. The GM meeting's already happened, so yeah. Those things, you could go back to the archives. You want to subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/spinrate. Let them know that you're still here, even though it's the winter, and you're still listening to the show, and you want to get that good content from the good people at The Athletic. But the thing that we're here to talk about, Jose Berríos is going to be a Blue Jay for quite a long time, announced earlier here today on Tuesday. Very early Tuesday, I believe it was, I don't remember the reporter's name who sort of had it first. And then I know that Ben Nicholson-Smith was able to independently confirm. And then the reports came rolling in. 7 years, buying out six of Jose Berríos' available free agent years, which there are infinite, I guess. You have infinite amounts of free agent years as long as you want to keep playing. But 7 years, Jose Berríos, for a tidy price that I think that nobody is going to really sneeze at. $131 million. That's a lot of money. Jose Berríos, who was bound and determined to test the free agent market, but instead has tested the lovely waters of Ontario, the lovely soft water of Toronto, and now is all in. And it's good news if you're a Blue Jays fan. Caitlin, is it not?
It's great news if you're a Blue Jays fan, I think. You kind of summed it up, like the price point that he signed for, $131 million over 7 years. You can kind of break it down to sort of two different parts. One of those parts is sort of like buying out, I guess, the last year of his arbitration, where he was kind of projected to make about $11 million. And then when you take that, then there's 6 more years on the deal at $120 million. So that breaks down to an average of $20 million per season, which I think is kind of where you would expect a pitcher of his caliber to sign for. Like, that's pretty fair market value. I think that it's fair to say the Blue Jays, you know, are happy with that deal. Obviously, they signed it, and Berríos is happy with it as well. And I don't think anyone's looking at it and thinking it's a bad deal for any side. You never know what the free agent market is going to do. And, you know, I guess Berríos just valued some security. He valued what the Blue Jays had as an organization, what he was, you know, offered to be there. And he liked the deal enough to just agree to it. And that's obviously a good thing for the Blue Jays, because it helps them in, you know, several different ways. It obviously gives them some certainty in their starting rotation. We knew that Berríos was going to be pitching for them next year, but we didn't know that whether he was going to be pitching for them beyond next year, when he was scheduled to become a free agent. So it gives them basically, I think, a number two starter, a durable number two starter, who isn't really showing signs of slowing down. He's only 27. He'll be 28 next year. And so you're really buying, basically the bulk of his prime pitching years, or what you can. Obviously, he wasn't with you earlier in his career, but you're getting him, you know, some of his best years at a very affordable price. And so it gives their rotation, I think, a sort of a base level to be competitive, because you think about him and then pairing him with a guy like Alek Manoah, who is under team control for, you know, whatever it is, 5 or 6 more years. And then you have Nate Pearson potentially, still has upside to be a rotation mainstay potentially. And he's obviously controllable for a long time. Hyunjin Ryu's 2 more years. So you have the base of a rotation for, you know, years to come. And the other thing I would add is that as the Blue Jays sort of graduate from a team that is, based around players who are on like entry-level contracts and sort of in their beginning years of arbitration, where their contracts are generally more cost-friendly for teams, they're going to start to see their players cost a lot more. And so if you can have a player like Berríos, and you kind of know you have some cost certainty with how much he's going to be on your books for an extended amount of time, that just helps them sort of build the bigger picture and helps them build out from here. So they know what they're spending on pitching for this X amount of years and how to build the roster around them. So it always helps when you have some cost certainty, because as you obviously free agency, they can make whatever they can make. And then even arbitration years, they are somewhat predictable, but not entirely predictable. So yeah, that cost certainty, I think, is an advantage as well, as they try to build out that roster and kind of lock guys more guys down.
So one thing I want to say, Hector Jose Torres Donato, looks to, like, it was the reporter, for an outlet that I'm not familiar with, who had the story, the idea that this was going to happen last night. This was tweeted out. But I think that you said something that I agree with very much. Well, I know that you said something that I agree with very much in terms of building out the roster around the core that now includes Jose Berríos for the long haul. And it's the Blue Jays aren't fucking around, I think, is like, mm-hmm. which... If the Hyunjin Ryu signing didn't suggest that to you, if the George Springer signing didn't suggest that to you, I don't know what else it's going to take to convince you other than signing a pitcher for a very long term for a pitcher contract. Like, 7 years is a long time mm-hmm. for a pitcher. 6 years of six free agent years. You know, a guy who is relatively young, but like, they're not joking. They're not. There's no half measures, and the payroll is going up, but they do have a budget like every team in the league, but they're making the kinds of moves that if you were wanting a team to build around a core of stars, these are the moves you want them to make, I think. And the other thing, and I'm, I'll ask what you think of this perspective, which is, this is the perfect encapsulation of what Mark Shapiro in particular has been saying all along. This is what he said he was going to do. Number one is to spend money, make the team a competitor, make the team a winner, make the team, you know, build around their young core and have good players all around the diamond. But the other thing is, like, improve the state of the franchise, improve the team from into being a modern professional sports business in a way that the guys get a taste and they want to stick around.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that what I would say is, like, obviously the Blue Jays are sane and doing all the right things when it comes to acquiring players and treating players well in the organization. Like, so you consider, like, I think you said off the top that there was this kind of idea, and whether it was like the Twins that floated it or whatever, but there was this kind of perception that Berríos was a guy that did want to get to free agency sort of like no matter what. I think there was a quote from like a couple years back maybe where he did sort of suggest that, you know, you work towards this, you pitch for 6 or 7 years and you want to get there. And then I think it was kind of the Twins kind of doubled down on that, saying we moved him because we didn't think we would get an extension with him or whatever. And so we know that's not true, because obviously Berríos, whatever it was, the right amount, or what it was, the collection of the right amount with the right pieces that the Blue Jays had, with, you know, what, I don't know, maybe Berríos really liked the city, maybe his family really liked the city. There's a lot of things that go into it. I think ultimately, though, the biggest contributors to why a player wants to stay with an organization is money, term, and the competitiveness of the club. And obviously the Blue Jays delivered on all three of those fronts. So I would agree with you that, Mark Shapiro is building the Blue Jays to be a team that is a desirable location. And yes, there's always going to be somewhat of a sort of Toronto tax, quote unquote. Maybe it's going to take some convincing. Maybe it's going to take that extra year. Maybe that's why they went 7 years for Berríos as opposed to six. That was sort of what they did with George Springer as well, that extra year. And I think Hanjin Ryu as well. And so, yeah, there are some things, there's some concessions that Toronto sometimes has to make as an organization, but they're not alone in that. There's a few teams that are just sort of the marquee main teams that everyone would go to, the Yankees, the Red Sox, Dodgers, all those teams. But I think that you look at the type of players, the type of caliber of players that the Blue Jays have been able to attract in the last few years, talented, you know, by all accounts, high quality people as well, like guys that fit well with the organization, sort of align with the values that the organization has. And so, you know, those are all good things. And I would just add to the idea that I think you were also kind of touching on, is this, that the way that the Blue Jays are going about building the roster is very strategic. Like, you see when they signed Hanjin Ryu for those 4 years, but now you're seeing sort of maybe the back end of his contract, which maybe from a talent perspective, he's not going to deliver as much, but then you're kind of overlapping that with potentially the best years of a Berríos contract. And then, you know, Hanjin Ryu is going to come off in 2 years. Then you still have some guys, some younger guys that are just, so it's kind of a ripple effect where you're never going to hit the idea is that you're never going to hit a time with this team where, you know, all the contracts are going to come up at the same time, or all the guys are going to be due to be paid at the same time. Like, it's sort of a layering effect, right? Where they're kind of, it's a building blocks, or kind of putting one block on top of the other and building out from there. So you're never going to, the hope is that you're never going to have a situation where the roster is too old or too young or whatever it may be. Well, too young is okay if they're like rebuilding, but you know what I mean?
No, that's a great point. And I think that you don't have to look any further than the other signing that happened today, which was Noah Syndergaard going for 1 year to the Angels for $21 million for a single year. Syndergaard, who's pitched twice in the last 2 years, and also had that, was offered the qualifying, or extended the qualifying offer and turned it down. The Angels are not in the same kind of position the Blue Jays are. So the Angels are having to make expensive gambles in order to try to get the most out of their roster, which is top heavy and doesn't have those layers, doesn't have that depth. So that's just something else to kind of keep in mind, that while the Angels have more top-end talent than just about anybody, the Blue Jays are in an enviable position as it relates to the way that their team is built, and making astute signings and additions like this is a great way to keep that going. We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out. We can't just come on here and be like, this is the best contract that's ever been signed. Perhaps, look, having good players in bunches is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Are we maybe, and maybe the dollar sign, the dollar figure that Barrios signed for, are we in our analysis and maybe in the excitement of fans and people online, maybe kind of pushing José Barrios a little bit above what he really is or really has been? I mean, there's a lot of talk about top of the rotation. I don't think that he's that guy. I think he's a very good number three mm-hmm. kind of starter, number or like a, you know, maybe slightly low ceiling number two kind of starter, maybe. Not to sneeze at what he's accomplished. And one other thing, I've just remembered something before I go back to this point about José Barrios not being elite, which is, I think, not really up for debate. But one thing about free agency, something you mentioned that sparked my memory, is the way that even Ross Atkins said some really interesting quotes recently about free agency, about, you know, maybe I just don't remember, but people talking about free agency as a reward for the players, and even like the front office, like Atkins being like, you know, talking about Ray and Barrios and like, mm-hmm. or Ray and Simeon being like, they've mm-hmm. kind of had a line into them, but they're not bugging them. They're not banging down their door. It's like, they've worked so hard to get to free agency. They've worked so hard to get to this point. Like, let them go out, figure what it's all about, experience it, and sort of like find their way and do it their own way. I found that interesting. Maybe that's a vocal expression of this sort of up with people, we love our guys kind of attitude of the Blue Jays front office. But I found that interesting. I don't know if you're familiar with those quotes that I've been regurgitating, but I found that as a bit of an interesting position to take, while also at the same time acknowledging like, yeah, you know, we're talking to them, but I'm not blowing up his phone every day.
Yeah, well, both those guys, it's their second time in free agency as well. True. They both mm-hmm. did it last year and kind of did the option of betting on themselves for one mm-hmm. year. Obviously, it worked out for both of them. So I think in that way, like, the Blue Jays may even respect even more their process, because they sort of realize that this is their – they both took that chance on themselves and did earn the opportunity to really see what's out there coming off – basically career years or near career years for both of them. So, and that kind of sentiment from Atkins that you were kind of paraphrasing there is something that I've heard from him before, as well as Mark Shapiro. I don't know. I've definitely heard it from them this year, potentially last year. It seems to be something that whether it's maybe just their backgrounds in player development and knowing the sort of long journey it takes to even just get to the major leagues for your rookie year and then to play consistently for the 6 or 7 years that it takes to get to free agency. Like, maybe it's just the sort of their understanding of the long journey, or, you know, maybe it's just Mark Shapiro's long time in baseball that he just is so familiar with, and just dealing with free agents. Maybe he just, you know, understands that it is a momentous thing for a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's obviously they want to put those quotes out there in the press and mm-hmm. be totally respectful, while also sort of reminding the fan base that, yeah, they're still engaged with them, but, you know, they want to be the good guys here, and they want to say, we're giving them space. We're, you know, we had them for a year. We should let them see what's out there, you know. But
this version of free agency is probably a lot less stressful than the last version of free agency that Robbie Ray or Marcus Semien in particular went through, where
yeah.
they're kind of sitting in the, I'm going to sound like like the catbird seat. Hey there, cool cats.
Robbie Ray, like, didn't even wait. He was, remember, like, he signed yeah. within the first couple of days of free agency. Mm-hmm. I guess so.
But let's get back to bashing José Barrios for not being elite. Now, so maybe is there a slight amount of concern, not necessarily with the length of the contract relative to his age, because I think that's he is still quite young. I think he just finished his age 28 season, age 27 season. But number one, has José Barrios already had his best season? So are the Blue Jays perhaps paying for his maybe some slight, I mean, there's decline is in all but inevitable, but in that Barrios is not, or maybe isn't coming from an elite position. So as he declines, is there concern that, or are you concerned that on the back end of the contract, if he could maybe underperform and maybe that's why the lower dollar figure was out there?
Well, okay, so let's also mention that's an important point that I think after year five, there is an opt-out. So that gives some protection for, if he wants, I actually don't know how the opt-out would exactly work, if it's like the player or the team or both or whatever it may be. But it gives, I guess, a sense that after 5 years, the two parties could say we're done and he could move on, or the team could move on for him or whatever it may be. But just in general, like, I guess the concern for him, I mean, like, the thing with Barrios is he's been, you know, pretty remarkably consistent just from, being a basically an above average, not an elite, but an above average starter, remarkably durable. He's made 32 starts in every season since 2018, except for obviously 2020 when he made all 12 of his starts. And so he's a guy that, you know, you can at least rely on every fifth day. And that is something that, I mean, all teams probably value, but I think the Blue Jays in particular really value durability. Like, you always hear them mention it, I think, with starting pitchers, especially. And just in my time covering the Blue Jays, like, I've seen durability really bite them in the sense that they didn't have it with their starters. And this was in years where they weren't even trying to be as competitive, so didn't matter as much. But I just remember, like, post 2019, like, something that they've always mentioned has always been, like, you know, getting starters who have a good track record. And, like, Robbie Ray was like that. Like, Robbie Ray, sure, he had his flaws with the walks and stuff, but he was a guy that, you know, didn't have a lot of injury, was relatively healthy, was relatively consistent at making starts, you know, almost every fifth day or whatever it may be. And so that's something I think they really value with Barrios, and, you know, above his numbers, which basically are kind of perfectly above average. Like, if I'm just looking, like, I pulled up his Baseball Reference page, you look at ERA plus, which kind of normalizes a pitcher's ERA. And, like, if you look at 2018, it's like 111. 2019, it's 123. 2020, it's 108. Last year, it was 122. So, like, you know, it's all in the same general range. Sure, like, yeah, he's only getting older. I think that 28, 29, 30, 31 is still prime years for a pitcher. He's a guy that throws hard enough, I think, like 95, 96-ish for the fastball. But he's also got a good breaking ball. His curveball's a really good pitch. He's got a good changeup. And so he's also not necessarily a guy that is completely about velocity for strikeouts. He's got really good command. Usually that's something that you can bank on long term. And so those are things that I think, while maybe not elite, I think they're qualities that they're peripherals and they're qualities that the Blue Jays particularly like. They're qualities that you can sort of bank on to be fairly consistent with a pitcher. And for that reason, like, I'm not really worried about this deal. Like, everything I look at suggests that he's kind of just going to be the guy that he's been, which is fine.
No, you're right. I think that you haven't said anything that I don't agree with. I think that the big curveball, though, which I think Baseball America ranked as one of the top the top three curveballs in the American League this year. That's definitely a good weapon to have as you get into, you know, as Adam Wainwright has shown us that he's pitching at 40, just feels like throwing that curveball every single time out. There's absolutely value in the guy that Barrios has been and the guy that he projects to be moving forward. Mike Petriello wrote a really good story this week for Statcast, looking at what is it the teams pay for. And they don't pay for what you've done. They pay for what you project to be able to do? What do they think that you can do? And that's why Andrew Heaney got 1 year and $8 million this year, why Robbie Ray got it last year versus like, or why Eduardo Perez got 4 years and $77 million compared to, in his example, he's just Martin Perez, who pitched the exact same ERA for the exact same team. But it's like, Rodriguez does the things that the team, that the game values, that the teams in mm-hmm. the game value. And Jose Berríos does the things that, that the teams in the game value as well. The health is, you know, you're healthy until you're not, but like having a good track record of health when you get into 28, 29, 30 is an incredibly, a green flag or just like a really good sign, because the best predictor of future injuries is past injuries, and he hasn't had any. He fits the Blue Jays mold in terms of being athletic. And, mm-hmm. and I think that the kind of team the Blue Jays have built with the offense, with the ability to score runs, they don't need to, and they're not expecting him to be Gerrit Cole, right? They don't need him to come in and be the best pitcher in the world. They need him to make his 32 starts, like you said, give them six solid, strong innings, keep them in the games, take his turn, be a good fielder, be a good soldier, be a guy that, you know, the other goofs like to run around with at the back of the dugout, and but still being able to come in and do your job. It's like the platonic idea of what the Blue Jays are wanting to do, if you ask me. When the deal was made, it was like, oh, of course the Blue Jays traded for Jose Berríos. And now it's like, of course they want to keep him around for as long as humanly possible. He mm-hmm. seems to be the embodiment of what the Blue Jays are, at least outwardly saying. And then now also, not just what they're saying, but what they're doing, the kind of organization they're trying to build, the kind of team they're trying to put on the field. It looks like Jose Berríos, and I think if you're a Blue Jays fan, you cannot help but be excited. Whether or not you think he's elite, whether or not you think he's a number two starter, a number three starter, a number four starter, it doesn't matter. He's going to take a turn. He's going to have, you know, Alek Manoah, who is just like a more enormous version of the same guy. They have the same the same arsenal. They'll have the similar results. By the way, Alek Manoah in that Mike Petriello story I referenced, shows up a lot on the best fastballs in terms of garnering swing and misses. Hmm. Man, that Alek Manoah, what a season he had. What a good player. What a man. He's something. They really hit on something with that gigantic dude. But anyway, Berríos, it's exciting. I'm excited. Excited to talk about it. Excited to, they have an exciting team now and for into the future as well. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
Should we just quickly, before we wrap, like kind of look ahead and think about what this signing sort of means for what else they might do this offseason? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think, well, I'm going to throw it right back to you then by letting you have the opportunity to answer your own question, which is, do you think now that this is a impediment or to doing any of the other things that the Blue Jays are, and then maybe their fans are expecting them to do, does this disqualify them from signing Robbie Ray? Does this mean that Marcus Semien is not going to be a Blue Jay this year? Do you think that there is any relationship between this extension and what they might do in the free agent market?
I don't really, from like a sort of like money to spend perception, like I think it has value in the sense of like, you know, maybe if they're trying to sell their club and saying, we're doing this, this, and this, and we're building this, this, and this, and now they have sort of a piece of proof to say, look, we've done this, and, you know, he's going to be with us for 7 years. And especially with guys like Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien, who would know Berríos from being his teammate for 2 months of the season, like, you know, maybe I'm not saying that that's why they would sign here, but, you know, it does sort of give more credence to when Mark and Ross, you know, explain their plan to free agents, whether it be Ray, Semien, or whoever. And so I think it helps in that regard. But in terms of like how this dictates the dollars and where they'll go, like it doesn't really mean anything for next year because you already kind of assumed that Berríos was going to take up $11 million or so dollars because that's what his arbitration was projected to be. And then again, like moving forward, just to reiterate, like the $20 million average annual is, you know, not a number that is going to be prohibitive of spending elsewhere. Like that's kind of what you would expect to pay for a pitcher like him. So I don't think it I don't think it does anything. I don't think it handcuffs them in any way to make those deals. I think it sort of helps their perception because what we talked about earlier is that, you know, like Toronto is a place that guys want to play and guys will, you know, sign there after just 2 months, even though they could have gone to free agency. And that's a good thing. I also think kind of it opens up some doors, interestingly, though, because I think knowing that Brios is going to be a starter for you potentially until 2028 means that when you're looking ahead even to next year, now you know you don't have to replace Brios. Like, he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the roster, the only starter they're going to lose after this upcoming season would be Ross Stripling. It's going to be a free agent. And so, you know, he's maybe your extra starter at this point. He's kind of your depth starter anyway. And so I think that it actually opens up an opportunity for the Blue Jays to be maybe less concerned about trying to make two long-term deals this offseason. I think it actually could help them say, we can make a trade for a one-year rental, for example, to fill one rotation spot. And then maybe they're still searching for a high-end guy like a Ray or a Kevin Gausman or whoever it may be. But, you know, like maybe a Justin Verlander, if he only wants to sign 1 year, the Blue Jays may be more open or have the opportunity to sign that like 1 year deal or make that trade for a guy that is going to be a free agent, because now they at least know they're not going to be searching for a starter to have to replace Brios next season. So if they have to replace that free agent that they signed for 1 year or that guy they traded for 1 year, that's sort of more manageable, as opposed to that when you're always a team continuously trying to build your rotation year after year after year, like it is a tough thing to do to go out there and always get starters, right? So I think that's kind of how it helps, is I think it actually gives the team sort of more options. And I wouldn't be surprised if they still kind of heavily pursue a guy like Robbie Ray or a guy that can take that number one mantle. But I also think it gives them sort of like opportunity to maybe take a risk in like a 1 year deal or a trade for a guy or something like that. Just because, I don't know, like I just think having Brios locked up gives them a little bit less work to do moving forward.
Old habits die hard. So I can't help but be an old man and thinking about the Blue Jays in a more outmoded way, such that I'm like, well, in my mind, I'm like, well, the money's spent. That doesn't mean that they aren't going to continue to try to improve the team. But, and while there has obviously been a commitment to continue to spend, and this is the third year in a row they've made a significant outlay of cash in the offseason, that's what maybe makes me in some part of my brain think the spending part is done. Not the acquiring and the transactioning and the improving the team. But I can't help but think in my mind, again, because I've just got like Cheap Rogers kind of tattooed across my forehead, and I can't, I refuse to grow up, but maybe the upgrades come more in the form of trades moving forward in terms of like what's going to be out there. There's a lot of talk obviously about like Oakland making a fire sale and some other teams mm-hmm. that are having to kind of crawl back, scratch back, what's the word I'm looking for, just to cut costs. And the Blue Jays can be in a bargain hunting mode in terms of paying with prospects what they would ordinarily have to pay for in cash. But so I don't think that it means that they're not going to do any of those deals, as you explained, but I also think it means they won't do any of those deals because it's hard for me to wrap my head around the idea of just the Blue Jays spending $300 million in an offseason just in money. It just seems crazy to say out loud. It doesn't mean it's not within the realm of possibility. It absolutely is. But if you're like, oh yeah, the big spenders this winter were the Blue Jays. They extended a 27-year-old pitcher for 7 years, and then they also paid for future production from Robbie Ray or Marcus Semien. I hope I'm wrong. But also, in my lizard brain, it feels like they might be done in that respect. But I don't have any intel. I don't have any insight. I'm just a guy who's saying the same thing I've said for 15 years.
I think they'll make trades because mm-hmm. I just think that's going to be how teams are going to have to get things done this offseason, because I think there's going to be more teams that are willing to spend money on free agents. Whereas like last year when the Blue Jays got George Springer and Marcus Simeon, like there was like four or five or six teams like spending big money. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of easier for the Blue Jays to stand out because they were one of the few teams that was giving a lot of dollars away in free agency, which again is like not something you typically think. So like last year, the Blue Jays were the biggest spender in free agency, believe it or not. I think that just trades will be necessary to address certain needs. And I think you're right that it is sort of like they don't have – as much as I think they have more money to spend, and I'm less skeptical than you, but they don't have endless amounts of money to spend, and they do have to be mindful of, yeah, one day they want to extend Guerrero and have him on the books and Bichette and Teoscar Hernandez and other guys potentially, whoever they may be. And so – dealing with their prospect capital, which they're still very rich in, makes a lot of sense for them. And so, yeah, if there's a team like the A's that have a third baseman and a starting pitcher that they would potentially package in a deal for three or four prospects, that's a good way for the Blue Jays to address a few needs. And like I said, I think that the way their roster is constructed, like they can afford to have some rentals for some guys, especially at those two positions that I just listed.
They should not hesitate to spend money, though, if it's out there. If the right guy is there at a price that everybody works for everybody, spend that money. Do it now. Do it before the lockout, which we shouldn't say out loud. This is an exciting day for Blue Jays fans. Let's not worry about labor strife. So I'll give you the last word, Caitlin. Anything else you got to say about Jose Berríos signing with the Blue Jays for 7 years, $131 million? Read your story that you said all the things that you wanted to say then.
Yeah, read my story. It's up right now on Jose Berríos, where I've more or less made all these points on the podcast, but you can read them in text form if you read my article. And there will be more coming this week on some potential award winners, maybe, and some roster construction deadlines. So exciting stuff. Real meat of the offseason.
The real meat of the offseason. Well, as I said off the top, you should go to theathletic.com/spin, right, and subscribe so you can read Caitlin's transaction breakdown, in which she describes it as a tidy bit of business, which I cannot help but agree. Her name is Caitlin McGrath. My name is Drew Fairservice. As we said before, there is still lots of Blue Jay stuff coming up, so look for another episode ever so shortly, where we'll talk about all of those award things, the down ballot nonsense. Caitlin will reveal her. You voted for the Cy Young, right?
No.
Which one did you vote for?
It's out there. People could look it up right now.
Oh, I thought you had voted for this. Anyway, so we could talk about that and so much more. But in the meantime, thank you for sticking around. Thank you for coming back to Spin Right. If this is your first time, if you are a Berríos truther and you're like, I need to learn more about the Blue Jays, welcome to Spin Right. This is how it often is. But thank you for your support this season. Thank you for coming back here in the off season. We'll talk to you very soon on the next episode of Spin Right.